Good morning. It's good to join with you again this morning. You know, as I was sitting back there thinking, I was thinking that in the past 7 months, I haven't done a whole lot of traveling. This is, I think, the third time I've made it to Kansas City. And it's just now getting to the point where I don't feel like I'm breaking the law if I drive too far. So for the most part, we've stayed close to home, and I'm sure you did for a period of time as well. But it is good to get out and about, and it is good to join with you today. As I begin this morning, one of the things that really strikes me, and I appreciate, is how the book of Genesis and how the book of John both begin. Of course, there's the first phrase, in the beginning, but I appreciate how the book of Genesis seems to tell us how the world began, and how life began in the world, and how light came into the world. And then the book of John follows a similar pattern, except it doesn't necessarily speak about the physical world as much as it does about the spiritual side. It speaks about how life begins in a spiritual way, and how light came into the world in a spiritual sense as well. Think about that with me. If you would like to turn to either of these passages, you can. We'll look at the first three or four verses of both. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Keep that verse in mind, if you will. And then we'll move over to John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you think about those two passages, how quickly did the book of Genesis introduce the idea of light? In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. As John is giving a spiritual account, how quickly did he talk about light as well? Speaking of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we've already made reference to the idea that both from the physical standpoint as well as the spiritual standpoint, these aspects are addressed. How did life begin? How does spiritual life begin? How did light come into the world? How did spiritual light come into the world? We're going to see those things in these two accounts. Let's pause. Let's think briefly, and if you'd like to turn there, you can. I'm not necessarily going to read any account from Genesis chapter 1, but I'll briefly remind us of some of the things we had there. And before I do that, I might just encourage you to be thinking about this question. I'll make an observation and a question. First of all, appreciating the strong connection between light and life. And then the question I'll ask you is, which comes first, light or life? Think about that for a minute. You know, and also before I make any comments about Genesis chapter 1, I can appreciate that in a sense, children, 3 and 4 years old, learn about light and they learn about life sometimes. So in a sense, a lesson like this is simple enough for a 4 or 5 year old to get some grasp of, because we talk about light very quickly. But it's also something that even as 80 and 90 year olds, the oldest among us, there's things that we can still learn about light, the significance of light, and the significance of life as well. Thinking about Genesis and the Genesis account, we've already mentioned to you that in verse 3, first, in verse 2, it's already been accounted that it was dark. If you think about creation, it's great that God had created the heavens and the earth. What did that heaven and earth look like? Well, number one, it was without form and it was void, so there wouldn't have been a whole lot to see. But even if you could see, you couldn't see because it was dark. And it was only when light came into the world that anything would have been visible. But God established that light right off the bat. And shortly after establishing that light, he then began to establish life. Because we see on day three that vegetation was created, living plants, if you will, plant life. We see on day four that God instituted the sun, created the sun and the moon to give light by the day and by the night. In verse 5, we find that he created sea animals and the animals that fly in the air, sea and air. He gave life to them as well. In day 6, we see that he created the animals that walk on the earth, and he created man. And he gave man, and he gave woman life. So what we're seeing here is, if we were to address the question we asked before, which came first, well, light came first, essentially, at least that we see here. Of course, another part of this that we haven't really addressed yet was, as the Bible says, in the beginning. Well, that's the beginning of time. But of course, did God exist before then as well? And if God existed before then, did light exist before then too? Now, that's just some brief comments about Genesis, but again, kind of reiterating the importance of life and light as it began. Moving over to John and describing that a little bit. You know, typically when I think of the book of John, and I think of the value of the beginning verses in John, I don't necessarily, or I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about verse 4. And right now, we'll briefly talk about the first three verses, and then for the sake of this lesson, we'll focus more on verse 4 in relation to this. But we see at the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. As we learn more about this, we understand that this Word that's described here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was in the beginning with God. He has, and of course, he was before time began. In the beginning here would in general make reference to the beginning of the world, but even before that, the Word existed. The Word has been with God for all time. And not only was he with God, but the Word was God. The God who created us all, the Savior, has been existent for all time, as has Jesus Christ. And Jesus is God himself too. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. But now, for the sake of this lesson, let's take a look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, in him was life. Jesus from the very beginning created. Jesus from the very beginning was alive. You know, you and I are alive too. Could it be said of us that in us is life? Is our soul and body still connected at this stage? Are they still together? Is life within us too? Yes, but I don't think that's exactly what it's talking about here. In him was life. How is Jesus above us in terms of life? Well, while Jesus was a living being, he also was one who had the capability of giving life. Have you ever met anybody else that could give the plants life? We saw in day three that God, and of course God, as God created this, it was Jesus we're talking about as well. Did Jesus give the plants life on day three? Did Jesus give the animals of the sea and of the air life on day five? Did Jesus give the animals that walk on the earth life in day six? Did Jesus breathe into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life and give Adam life on day six as well? And there was a day that you and I were born as well. Some of us, it's been many years ago. Some of us, it may have been a few years ago, but God has breathed into the nostrils of many human beings since then the breath of life as well. Who else gives life? You know, we can save a life at times. Kind of interesting this week, I'm a high school teacher, in case you weren't aware. I'm a high school math teacher in Jeff City. There's 7 periods in a day, 5 periods I have students come in, 1 period I have as a planned period, and the other hour we can have students come in to get extra help at times. So I had a student come in this time, about a 16-year-old boy, and he was telling me that this past summer, he was a lifeguard. And on his second day on the job, a person at the pool had a heart attack. And he gave CPR on the second day on the job. Did he help in saving a life? You and I can help to save a life. Sometimes people take the other side, and there are people who've taken people's lives as well. While we have the capability of helping to save a life, or we have the capability of taking a life, at the same time, none of us actually can give a life. Jesus, in him, was life. And not only was he in him his life, but in him also the life was the light of men. That's kind of an interesting phrase as well. You know, we see in verse 5, I believe, somewhat of an explanation of that, when we see that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. Up until the time of Jesus, certainly we know, we'll go earlier than that, obviously there was the time of the flood, where the heart of man and the thought of man was evil continually. And at the time, of course, it was destroyed. The earth was destroyed because of that. Well, things weren't that much better as Jesus came into the world. Was there still a lot of darkness? And right now we're talking about spiritual darkness, of course. Not a lot of spiritual insight. And so, as he came into the world, he is the one who truly gave spiritual light, spiritual life, spiritual insight to man as well. Now in verse 4 at this stage, I had mentioned in him was life, and I was talking about physical life as I was saying that. But of course, even more, in him is the ability to have spiritual life. Because you and I both know that same Adam and that same Eve who had been created in the garden, or created, as they were in the garden, they also sinned. And as they sinned and fell short of God's desire, they were also separated from it. And the salvation that God planned for man was through this same Jesus who created man. The same Jesus who could give man spiritual, or could give man physical life in the very beginning of time and through all time, is also the one who can give spiritual life to you and me. And he has for many, many years. But that's what we're seeing here in John chapter 1. We've pointed out in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now going on briefly here, we see in verse 6 about the man sent from God whose name was John, the man who came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The significance of Jesus and light is so much so that he is even called light here. John bore witness of the light. He wasn't that light. But in verse 9, we see that Jesus himself was the true light. And that's what we're here this morning for. We've come together, we've surrounded the Lord's table this morning because the one who came to give life to man, spiritually speaking, also, as Paul spoke of while officiating at the Lord's table, as he came into Jerusalem, he was heralded as someone great. But also, he suffered a crucifixion. The very light of the world they thought they had taken away. The one who was to give spiritual life, they put to death. And yes, he did die, at least physically, but yet he did not. He resurrected, and that true light continues to shine as light for us as well. These are some of the things that I appreciate with this. As we continue on, we think of, for instance, day 4, we think of the sun being created. You know, is that still the same sun that we have today, or is that sun been replaced? Is this sun number one, or is this, and not right now, of course, we're talking about S-U-N. Is this the S-U-N number one that's still shining around up there, or is this like the 15th version? You know, I bought a laptop recently, and I think mine says, like, I don't remember, but something, it's the 13th generation, it says on it. Well, I don't think we've got the 13th generation of the sun. We've got the same sun that was created on day 4. That same sun continues to give light, physically speaking, to the world. And by the same token, the same sun gives light, now the same sun, as in S-O-N, gives light to us as the one who lit the world when he was with us then too. You know, as you and I both know, there's many, many references in the Bible speaking of light. A couple that we'll go to as well. We'll go to the Galatians one that comes to my mind. I don't know that the word light is mentioned here, but to me it gives the same idea that we're speaking of. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now again, let's do one more. In verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This, of course, again, is making reference to those who had fallen short. First, it's making reference, of course, to God sending his Son. When the fullness of time had come, we recognize that Jesus had been in the heavens with God before. And now, he became a son. He was born into the world. He was born of a woman. He was born under the law. And the reason was to become the light of the world, essentially, to redeem those under the law, that we may be adopted as sons, children of God. And as we are children of God, we also receive God's Holy Spirit, which can certainly shine into our hearts as well. And speaking of shining into our hearts, I'd like to also briefly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Here, there certainly is a reference to shining into this light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have seen earlier how when Jesus came into the earth, he was that light. The darkness didn't really like the light. Some people actually would rather be in darkness. If I'm going to go to sleep, I'd rather be in darkness, I guess. But in general, I prefer light to darkness. When I drive down the road, I can see where I'm going. I can know when the curves are coming. And I think there's some spiritual similarities as well. There's certainly a great value for us to have light around us. And God shows us the way. In verse 6 again, God who commanded, as Jesus was that light to shine out of darkness. Now, he doesn't just shine to the whole world, but he also shone it for each of us. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, he has shone into your heart. He has given you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, it can show you, we can show you here. This passage can help to enlighten us to recognize the value of shining in our hearts and give us the glory, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, there's lots and lots that we could say about light. We're all aware of that. So far, we've talked about Jesus being that light. That's an important piece. Sometimes, if we had an afternoon service, I'd probably continue this on and do a second lesson about on this. As it is, with shortened part here, I'll just make a reference or two to the idea, of course, that we know that we are lights in the world as well. On one hand, does Jesus continue to shine in the world? Depends on how you may look at it. Does he still walk the earth with us today? No. Does as he had apostles, as he selected apostles to teach and to work with him, those apostles, were they able to see everything that he did? Or at least they saw much that he did. Were they able to listen to his teachings? Yes. And do we have their testimony today as well? The apostles and prophets? Yes. And so certainly in many ways, the light of God continues to shine into the world, this light of Jesus. And what's one of those ways? One of those ways is you and me as well. We are the what? The light of the world. Please do not put your candle under a bushel, but continue to shine as lights as well. Some of the things that I'm reminded of, I may take as many as 5 more minutes. I'll take a few more here. I want to turn briefly to Genesis chapter 6. I believe it's verse 11. I want to make reference to Genesis chapter 6. Many of you recognize that this is the time of the flood. And that's the time period we're talking about here. We've already made reference to the evil that was around at the time. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, the scripture records for us that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, in many ways, I like to keep things positive, but certainly at that time, the earth was corrupt, and it was filled with violence. When I think about the world we live in today, is there corruption around us today? And is there violence around us today? We live in 2020. What happened early this year? This is not a political speech, and I'm not going to make a stand on either side of this. But early this year, our president was impeached. Part of the reason he was impeached, the Democrats would view him as that he was corrupt in some way. Quid pro quo, they called it. And so they impeached him because of certain things that they would see. Well, what do we have now is October and almost November of this year. We've got an election coming up. What's coming out in the past few days? There's accusation of corruption on the other side. Corruption in terms of taking money from certain people. So we see that whether Republicans or Democrats, are both sides accusing the other of corruption? Again, I'm not here to say anybody is corrupt. Well, I'm not here to say either side is corrupt. But by the time both sides accuse the other of corruption, does it become evident that there is corruption? At the time of the flood, the earth was filled with corruption. The earth was also filled with violence. Have we seen much violence in 2020? Depending on how you may want to look at it. But there was certainly, quote, demonstrations. There was certainly, some would say it moved into riots. Some would say there was violence. Has the murder rate in Kansas City increased in 2020? Have there been higher murder rates in many countries throughout the world, in many cities throughout this country? Yes. So right now we live in a world that's also corrupt and violent in some ways. We have an election coming up in, 9 days now? Will there be unrest surrounding this election? For the first time, I would probably say likely, considering the things that we've seen in the past few months. No matter which side may win or which candidate may win, there's going to be some people who are upset in a few days. Can we continue to shine as lights in the world, no matter whether we believe the best candidate may win or not? And so I would encourage us to remember that we are representatives of the one who is the light of the world. We may see things that happen in this world. We may see things that happen in our country that disappoint us. We may see things that we are much more than disappointed. We may be terrified of what's happening here or there. However you want to use it, I use the word terrified. But whatever we see in the political world around us, may we remember that we live in a great country, that it's great to be a citizen of America, but even more, that we are a part of the Lord's body, that we are the reason that God sent His Son, you and I, to save us. Remember that we are citizens of God's kingdom, that He is our King. And it is heaven that we are headed for. May we appreciate all that He's done. May we appreciate creation itself. May we appreciate light. And may we appreciate life. This morning, if you're here and you're not yet a part of the body of Christ, we extend the invitation to become a child of God as well. Number one, to recognize your sin. To recognize that as we have sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. As we have sinned, we need forgiveness and we need redemption. Recognizing, of course, that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're here this morning and you're ready to confess your belief that Jesus is the Son of God, to have your sins washed away as you repent, and as you confess, to be buried in the waters of baptism, to rise and to walk a life for Him, and to become a citizen of His kingdom, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.